if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by CMG Podcast and Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chilling, chilling. You?
Doing good, baby. Ready for the weekend.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm happy it's Friday. TGIF is in full effect. You know, I love our Friday shows. And yesterday, and the last 40 hours have been very exciting with this MLB trade deadline. We saw a lot of big-time faces find new teams, but you know, that guy LeBron and those Lakers, man, they just found a way to steal the MLB trade deadline and made it the NBA deadline, because yesterday it was announced that the Los Angeles Lakers agreed with a deal with the Washington Wizards, sending Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. Now, to team him up with LeBron and AD, the trade consisted of Kyle Kuzma, which is a good riddance, KCP and Montrezl Harrell, and the 22nd pick. And last night's draft, I can't even tell you who the guy was, unfortunately, because I'm sure he's not going to be remembered unless it turns out to be a goddamn stud. But nonetheless, you got Russ, the King, and AD, the Brow. You think that the Lakers should be favored to win the next championship, Pride?
They lose it in the first round.
Ooh,
100%. Spicy. The Lakers team did not need Russ. They needed a shooter. That's what they needed. But now let's go. The reason I find this so comical was because when in his final year with Houston, they literally let Russ shoot threes. They left him wide open to the point where Russ was even saying on the sidelines, "Why are they leaving me open? Because you can't shoot threes. That's why." So now all of a sudden, he's a saving grace. All of a sudden, we got Russell Westbrook, and it's it. It's over. We win and everything. Really? For real? Now, there's a good thing. Kyle Kuzma gone, thank God. This dude was a bona fide, I don't care what no one says, bro, bona fide scrub, okay? They could have just released him, bro. They could have cut him, and nobody would have backed
him. Dead body.
100%. This dude was just there. He was just existing. You feel me? But in terms of how Russ fits with this group, if you're going to sit there and tell me that he fits great, that's like telling me that's a size 12. Oh, yeah, bro, I got size 7 you could fit in. But like this makes negative sense at all. Like, oh, yeah, Russ wants to come to L.A. That doesn't mean he should go to L.A., yeah. Just because he wants to be there doesn't mean he should be there.
Hey, everything that you could do, you shouldn't do.
Bro, I want to live in a mansion. Do you see me in one? No, because it's not meant for me right now. And all of a sudden, yo, yeah, bro, Russ going to be our saving grace. Russ going to be our saving grace. He going to be our saving grace? Because I'm going to tell you this right now, bro. And I may sound disrespectful to Russ, but frankly, I don't care. This is Kyle Kuzma 2.0. This dude is a walking, people say he'll walk in triple-double. Yeah, triple-double with turnovers too. Call him quadruple-double, man, because I don't want to hear a word, bro. Like, I don't want to hear, like, this makes zero sense to me. Because look, LeBron James is going to be the ball handler. So now here's the question. When he was with James, he got ball hurt. He wasn't the primary ball handler. So now you're going to go to from James Harden to LeBron James, who probably handles the ball more than James, and you're looking at me with a straight face and telling me, yeah, it's going to work out. Only way it'll work out is if it's a demolition derby, because it all ends in an accident. It's the only way it is going to work out. This is a horrible move. This was literally the exact opposite. It's a joke. I'm gonna keep it a stack. It's a joke, 100%. If LeBron was on, LeBron was like cheesing, like, oh yeah, we did it. Then what? What'd you do? Give yourself.
You got the Brody with the King, bro.
Look, man. I don't know. Is Russell Westbrook gonna change? No.
I'm away from my turn.
You're going to try to – I know what you're going to do. You're going to try to sell me that it's possible that you could change, okay? You're going to try to sell me that. I'm going to tell you right now, bro, if that's what you're going to sell me, prepare for me to ask for a refund, and I'm going to be a Karen, and I'm not leaving until I see a manager, because ain't no way this dude finna change, bro. He ain't finna change. Like, come on, bro. I love Anthony Davis, but come on now. Homeboy got pumped by DeMarcus Cousins with a torn Achilles, and you tell me he's stepping up to Russ? Come on now. Bron, old bro. Bron will punch him and just quit. And then what the Lakers stuck with? Every single move the Lakers were supposed to make, they wanted Buddy Hield. And if they didn't get Buddy, you know who they should have gotten? DeMar DeRozan. For some unknown reason, I'm going to blame LeBron because I know LeBron definitely got something to do with it. So I have to blame LeBron. Oh,
he definitely gave the 100%. Okay for 100%. Sure.
Ain't no way I'm not going to go to, oh, yeah, Rob Pelinka. No, LeBron, okay? You did the wrong choice. For as great as he is, him and Michael Jordan have this very crazy common ground they have. They're garbage at building teams. It's wild to me how this dude really sat down and was like, okay, so we can get a young Buddy Hield, you could say older, but a DeMar DeRozan who will give me a consistent 15 to 20, which is what we need. Oh, yeah, let's go to Russell Westbrook. Like, fam, LeBron, what are you doing? If we just bring anyone to LA, bro, hit me up, Bron. If we just bring in anybody to LA, bro, hey, yo, I could step on the court, I could dribble three times, and I could throw the ball. Defensively, I'm a liability, but so is Russ. So
you got a jersey on right now. You could go make passes right now.
Come on, bro. Let's get it, Mo. I'm better than Zion. What you talking? I just. But the overall point remains, bro. This was a stupid trade, bro. Like, this was stupid. I mean, it was great that they got Kyle Kuzma out of there because the dude was a walking liability, 100%. Like, this is the only dude I know who, if he wanted to go get insurance, the insurance companies will turn him down because the risk is too high. Like, Kyle Kuzma's the only dude I know who will be like that. But to get Russ, that just doesn't make sense to me. And I understand that Russ, in and of itself, he's a phenomenal talent. And I'm not disagreeing with that. But on this Lakers team, he just doesn't fit because he can't shoot well. If he's going to penetrate, that means Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to have to be out of the paint, which basically means whenever you see them out of the paint, you know Russ ain't going to pass it. You know he's going to drive. So it's kind of like, what's the point? Why bring him? You know what I mean? I would have gotten Buddy Hield. Again, a younger guy who could have been your third option. But no, you want to go get Russ, who swears he's still prime Russ. He swears he's the same Russ that averaged a triple-double the second year. He swears he's that same Russ.
He just did it again last year.
Congratulations. You ready to hear the funny part? With all the triple-doubles, the dude got more surgery than does triple-doubles. And you're telling me he helped the Lakers reach the promised land again? Nah, Papa. It was a horrible trade, and I'm telling you this right now. When the Lakers lose again, I don't want to hear nothing talking about, oh, they couldn't get it. Oh, poor guy. I don't want to hear nothing. I'm telling you, bro. They switched Kyle Kuzma for Kyle Kuzma because Russ do not fit. And I'm telling you, he's going to be the
reason.
He's going to be the reason. I don't care. He's going to be the reason because he do not fit. Like, Kyle Kuzma did not fit. Yo, Russell Westbrook is like the zit on your cheek that's massive and it's about to burst and you don't know how to get rid of it. Kyle Kuzma was a messed up dental work.
But you got LeBron, the ultimate proactive.
Let me ask you a question. All jokes aside, right? So you say we got LeBron, right? What if I told you, yo, we're going to have a race. But in order to have the race, you got to have cinder blocks wrapped around your ankles. We're still racing, right? But you could be the better athlete. You're faster than me. You're better than me. You can get you got better twitch reactions. I'm putting cinder blocks on you. Are you still going to win? That's it. Russ is cinder blocks. And guess what? Says he has cinder blocks around Lakers' ankles. Guess what? They finna drown. And I'm a Celtics fan. So I'm sorry, Bron, but I'm gonna be laughing because this is your fault, Bron. And I love you. I put you on the highest pedestal. I think you are the greatest player of all time. And I revere you like no other. But you're gonna have to wear this one, Bron. You have to wear this. When you guys get bounced in the first, I don't want to hear a word. I don't want to hear a word talking about you're going to be on the sideline looking at him wishing, damn, I wish I had Kyle Kuzma because I would have someone to yell at. You're going to be too scared to yell at Russ because Russ going to be turning the ball over, shooting stupid threes, and he's going to be ruining everything. And then you guys are laughing. Guess what? When it happens, we'll revisit this. And I haven't used this line in a while, but thank God I can bring it out. I'm going to want my restitution. when he's the reason they fail, I'm waiting for my apology. Until then, y'all can look at me crazy. Just like how it's crazy for this man to get there. So it is what it is. It was a horrible trade.
First round.
I don't know why LeBron thought this was a good idea But if we're just doing anything, yo, Bron, go get some chumps that play at the Y and be bricking three-pointers and bring them on your team since you're just bringing anybody.
Yo. First of all, it's going to be a lovely weekend. But damn, Pride, what's up with all this hostility towards Russell Westbrook? You would have thought he beat the shit out of you when you was younger and told everybody. Like, for real, bro, relax, bro. Kyle Kuzma 2.0? So wait a minute. Kyle Kuzma and then a MVP who's been past 3-4 seasons averaging a triple-double, something that Kuzma can't even sniff? You saying they in the same level? Wait a minute, bro. I'm not with Russell Westbrook slander. I'm not gonna say they favored to win a chip, guys, but first round, Diablo, bite. That's just pure hate in your heart talking. That's not even realistic. I think they still should be favored to come out the West. Reason being, and it's so funny, bro. Yeah. Oh, it's so crazy how quickly people forget that Lakers team. Basically, with LeBron one leg, Pride himself had them beating the Phoenix Suns. What was it, JJ? Blind faith? Again, I think it was blind faith that my man's had. And now you're saying with coming back healthy, okay, because they're going to be healthy. AD and LeBron are going to be healthy. Adding an MVP caliber, which when Russell Westbrook goes off, he can easily go off for like 30, 35 points.
Yeah, and give you a triple double.
So I'm not gonna argue efficiency, you brother, because guess what? Efficiency, my man. I got 100%. But guess what, bro? I've always been one guy to say that Russell Westbrook has had beautiful talent. He's played with KD, prime KD. He's played with James Harden twice. He's played with Bradley Beal just recently. He's played with a plethora of talent. But answer me this quick with a yes or no. Do any of those guys hold a candle to the type of alpha mentality that Russell Westbrook has? Because KD doesn't have it. Harden is a quiet guy. He doesn't really get in your face. Bradley Beal, he's just playing in Washington because he's just there so he don't get fined. You feel me? My man has not played with a guy with the stature of LeBron, who anybody can own the type of juggernaut mentality that Russell Westbrook plays with, because Russell Westbrook on the hat and runs through walls. He doesn't have anybody to tell him, hold on, bro, hold on. Yo, what we need you to do. And if there's anybody in the NBA, in the league right now, can slow down Russell Westbrook and talk to him like and basically look at him eye to eye. When he was looking at KD, sorry, excuse my language, I'm looking at a bitch. When I'm looking at James Harden, he's great. Harden is great, but still, he's not the dog that's going to get in your face and check you. LeBron will check Russell Westbrook and can hone that. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you, Pride, about efficiency, bro, because I get it. He's not most efficiency. But the Lakers don't need him to be efficient. They need him to be smarter with the ball. Smarter, because guess what? Smarter means less shots, which means he's not going to brick as many. And that means that he will just drive the lane and just, you know, take control of the game. Dude, if there's one thing that we know Russell Westbrook for, he's going to give you 110% every single game, not going to cheat you. He's going to guard you 90 feet. He's that dog. And guy like LeBron needed that when AD went down. Another guy that can get him.
No. You can't hear you. If you want to leave and come back, you can.
But
I'll go.
Go ahead, please.
Listen, in terms of fit, you're absolutely right. Like this, on paper, you're like, oh, how is this going to work? But I feel like we said this the last 10 years, at least like 4 or 5 times. How is this team going to work and put it together? And we've seen some successful versions of that. And we've seen a lot of busts with that. And this is just the latest example of this. Listen, I could see this going as in like a 6-minute offense. And I'm going to explain how that works. Russell Westbrook gets the first 6 minutes. LeBron gets the last 6 minutes, let's say quarters or crunch situations. Because, you know, I think Sander makes the point of, listen, if anybody could fucking pat Russ in the head, it's going to be LeBron James, because every other player defers to LeBron. He's just that guy. He's the guy he's going to be like, all right, he's better than me. Obviously, I'm going to pass it on to him. And maybe that's yet to be determined, because we haven't seen Russ totally be able to defer to another guy, because he always feels like he's better than the other guy because he wants it more. And maybe LeBron can match that intensity, and maybe this could be a relationship on the court that works. I think that both players, and when I say both players, I mean LeBron and Russell Westbrook, both are great with AD. I think that's a good combination, just them two alone with AD. If one of them is off the floor, them feeding AD is going to be a beautiful combination. I think that AD and Russ in the paint on the pick and roll, I think it'd be very successful. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I think it'll be a good combination. It's all about managing Russ and his shots. And I know that, you know, you say that, and it's like, oh, right, you said it. Like, how are you going to control that animal? He's freaking Russell Westbrook. He hasn't showed us in any time with any partner that he's going to be able to play nice, whatever, whatever. Listen, we talk about the GOAT. This is another thing that the GOAT could do. If you're LeBron James, for an example, let's say that LeBron could take Russell Westbrook and AD and bring it back to win two championships in the last 3 years, adding Russ. Like, that'd be pretty damn cool. Like, damn, like it kind of took Russ LeBron to win a championship, and it kind of, and LeBron just like, it just shows like the excellence that he's able to provide on a court. Like, damn, he was able to even bring Russ to the championship land, and you know, that would just be a story in itself, right?
Let me ask you a question. Legit question. Who's better at basketball, Jason Tatum or Brad Stevens? Who's better?
Jason Tatum.
Okay. So why is it Brad Stevens can control Jason Tatum, but on the pit stops this man took, nobody could control him? So you told me in Houston, James never said nothing. The same James who basically smacked Chris Paul's hand away from him when Chris Paul was trying to like check it.
Harden's not a tough guy.
But he was saying, bro, they were on the sidelines arguing. They were on the sidelines arguing back and forth.
One of them was arguing.
And Harden was saying stuff back. Look, man, if you need to tell me that a grown man needs to be controlled, you're already at a disadvantage. Thank you.
I do agree with that point. He doesn't fit that mode.
Right, absolutely. But I'm saying he's not a good fit, period.
That was my opening point.
I know that. I'm just reiterating. Yeah. Like, he's not a good fit, period. And he's going to, like, the role he's fulfilling is Kyle Kuzma, the guy who wants every single shot possible. Because that, listen, if you're going to sit there and tell me that Russell Westbrook all of a sudden is going to change the way he's played because he's playing with LeBron, when in every pit stop he's been in, he's thought, I am the best person, not on this team, on the floor. Which means he has played against LeBron. And he has the mentality, I'm the best player on the floor. All of a sudden, you think he's going to bow down to LeBron James? Are you kidding?
But he's never played with
LeBron. It doesn't matter. He still feels like he's the best player on the floor.
And that's fine, especially if LeBron's like, go ahead. And I feel like this isn't going to be a 2-10 game sample size. It's going to take the duration of the season, and maybe they can put it together. But I feel like we all agree that Russ's biggest disadvantage is his efficiency. I believe that a lot of those shots that he will miss will be LeBron's shots. You know what I mean? So you kind of cut down what he's doing in excess, and you're putting the point guard responsibilities in LeBron's hands, and that limits what Russ do. And the sense of fit, like we all agree, oh, you need a shooter around LeBron. Like, if he doesn't have the ball in his hand, he needs to have a guy that's going to be able to hit that three. Russ doesn't do that consistently, and I get that. But like I said, to me, I think it's more, it just shows us that at this point of his career, LeBron's just like, listen, I need to play off the ball more. Like, I'm 36. You know, the whole thing that they did at RDC where I'm 36. So I feel like a lot of that is like, yo, Russ, do it. If you're fucking up, just know I'm grabbing the rock and I'm gonna play point because that's what I do best, and I'm gonna need you to learn as we go together how to make this work best.
I don't know. Again, y'all can hope and y'all can pray it'll work. I can't predict the future, so I don't know. Based on the evidence I have and how I've seen Russ play his entire career, if this man does not have the ball, he gets mad. If you don't believe me, go see Houston. If you don't believe me, go see the Wizards. Because him and Beal got into it a couple times because Russ wasn't getting the ball when Beal was on fire.
They and LeBron, though, you know, and that's the thing. They and LeBron.
But at the same time, you can't just use that as a crutch because James Harden is
not. But it's a big factor. You know what I mean? We're not talking about just anybody.
I understand that. But Kevin Durant was the second best player in the world. So all of a sudden, to act like, I understand he's a beta. I'm not going to disagree with that. You know, KD is a beta. But if he stepped into the guy that at the time was the consensus second best player in the world, you think he's got a problem stepping up to number one? If he's able to step up to the number two guy in the world, what makes you think he's not going to step up to the number one guy? And LeBron, as much as I love him, let's not act like sometimes LeBron doesn't handle shit properly. Let's not act like he don't be going on. Go see. I understand that. But what I'm saying is let's not act like there's not times he goes on Twitter and he be subbing the team. You see what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know. Just to me, with all the pieces here, something don't fit, and it's Russ. Like, so I don't know.
Go ahead. It's so quickly, like, how quickly we forget how, like, listen, a LeBron-led team is always a threat to make it to the finals. I don't care what you said. He done made it to the finals with bums. He done made it with the – look at the Cleveland Cavaliers team. They made it with Kyrie being hurt. Dellavedova, you telling me an addition of another MVP and a guy that can not only just play the game, but Russ can straight up dominate a game in a good way. How quickly we forget that the Wizards were bottom feeders when he was there, and they were like 14 games out of the freaking playoffs, and they still made it to the playoffs behind Russell Westbrook's gameplay. So I don't know what this nonsense is like. Oh, Russell Westbrook can't lead. Russell Westbrook is a winner, is a leader. He just needs the right person that can help steer him in the right path. He's a berserker. He's a guy that he'll get to the finish line, but the entire time is this.
And the ultimate stabilizer straight, and bro. Captain is LeBron James.
Right? We done seen dudes that worse mentally that have all the talent in the world, a la AD, okay? No, not KD. I'm taking this to four. We done seen dudes who are worse mentality, okay, mental, than Russell Westbrook and end up where? With Tom Brady. In his first game, he scored 2 touchdowns. In his first season, wins a ring. So guys like LeBron, like Tom Brady, they have that type of pull where they can pull the reins on these dudes that have all the talent in the world, but their mind ain't right. So guess what? Yes, I do damn believe that all the years that Russell Westbrook played the way he played, do I believe that now with LeBron that he will play differently? Hell yeah, you could bet your ass. And if you think you don't, you're crazy, because how many times the dudes done went to LeBron? Dwayne Wade, prime example. That was Miami-Dade County. And what did he do? Listen, this is my team, but this needs to be your team for us to win. So there's beautiful examples all over history of when LeBron done took in talent and they done said, you know what? You are the man. I'm just going to contribute and do the best I can. And you telling me Russell Westbrook can't do it? Dude, look at everybody he done play with. They don't hold a candle to LeBron, okay? So I think that right now a LeBron-led team with AD, who's a top five player when healthy, LeBron is a top two player when healthy, and Russell Westbrook, a MVP caliber player who could give you a triple-double and go off for 30, 35? You crazy.
I definitely appreciate your point, Sandy.
Listen, Jay, real quick. Jason, listen, I'm not going to say they win the title because I think Brooklyn is winning it next year. But I say that they'll get out the West, and that's it.
Maybe. Well, you're on that point, though, and I'll have you answer this first because I saved this photo on purpose because I wanted to trigger you guys because, you know, it's a new combo, and I wanted to trigger my fellows real quick. So, Sandra, I just want your take on this first, and then probably please follow up right after. Which one's the best? Huh? Which one's the best? They already did it, so I got to ask.
Miami team all day.
Miami Heat?
All day. 2012-2013, LeBron will beat any player who ever lived in the history of the NBA. I don't care.
What do you think, Pryor? Which was the best
fight big three right think there? Otherwise. Fight me.
I'll go with the Cavs.
The Cavaliers one? Yeah, you know, it's just, you know, there's another rendition of the talent that has been willing to play alongside LeBron James, and it just shows the gravity that he really does pull. You know, he guys recognize that playing alongside LeBron James, it really does give me a realistic chance of winning a championship. 10 championship appearances will confirm that. You know, he does have 4, but hey, you don't go to 10 dances because you're not nice. You know what I mean? So we'll see. It's another tale in the Lakers' long history book, and we'll see how it turns out next year. But listen, I think that Magic was in the conversation with LeBron, though, in the same room. Like, listen, my Dodgers about to make some noise too, bro, because the Dodgers went out there and they made some noise too in the MLB deadline, grabbing that 2-wide demon Max Scherzer, man, three times Cy Young winner. Well, that's a difficult sentence. Cy Young winner Max Scherzer. They also got Trey Turner alongside in the trade, the All-Star shortstop Sander. And listen, they had a rough start, you know, with they had a couple COVID things and they didn't really start off the year as they should have. But the Dodgers now with their new acquisitions, Kershaw and Scherzer, sheesh, that's gonna be a tough beat in 7 games. So you think the Dodgers should be favored to win the champ to repeat as champions now?
You forgot they still got Buehler too, bro, which great arm too to have. So now listen, should they be favored? Listen, I'm not gonna say that I don't have them favored. For me, they're not my favorite to come out the NL, but they're gonna be battling for contention straight up. It's gonna be them and the Padres. I believe they're gonna be fighting for the NL pennant, and it's literally a toss up. You look at both.
You know what I loved about it, Sander? The Dodgers heard that the Padres were on the phone with Scherzer, and they're like, "Yo, Magic, somebody get on the phone with Scherzer right now, because we can't let that
happen." We'll give you the keys to the city, baby. The keys to the city. And I mean, basically, he called them and said, "Listen, Scherzer, with the type of caliber that you are, San Diego or LA, where would you want to shine?" And obviously, that Dodger blue, man, is historic. And whenever you can be, you know, add to the history. And let's not act like you like Scherzer, some random dude. I had Scherzer. He's been my personal favorite pitcher for the past decade. I've always loved me some Scherzer. But the fact that now he's in Dodger blue, he can add to the history there. It's just adding more rings to his already beautiful, illustrious Hall of Fame career. He's just going to do what he continues to do, go out there, play his game. He's in beautiful sunny weather. He doesn't have to worry about October's cold in Washington, because it gets brutal out there. And hey, they win Trey Turner, the speedster, a speed demon. The dude is nasty. He's a great hitter in the sense where he's not one of those just swinging for the fences guy. This is a pure hit 'em where they ain't type of guy. And you know, I love guys like this in MLB, great utility guys. And he has a great swing of the bat, and he's really defensively as well. No scrub. So the Dodgers just stacking millions on top of millions is in the term that I could come up with. They just keep on stacking talent, hoarding talent. They picked up Mookie Betts a few years ago, and they came out in a ring. And look, they're adding more danger to their already dangerous team. And like I said, guys, they're gonna be competing. They're gonna be up there in the NL championship game. Most likely, we'll see game 5s, game 6, and game 7s, and he'll be pitching in those games, being productive in those games. So I'm all for it. You know, I think that, you know, I don't have him favored to win the title yet, though. Yeah, I mean, I think the San Diego Padres have turned the corner, and I think they are more hungry. There's something about the underdog. You know, they kind of play little brother to the Dodgers, even though they're in the same state. But and you know, San Diego and LA Dodgers have the LA Angels. But I think San Diego as a town, they play little brother to the Dodgers. And I think
Jose Ramon says, I hear you, Jose. Team. No one's beating them, man.
It is. It literally is. It literally is, man. You could literally just go to the NL All-Star game and just pick all Dodger players. Like, that's how crazy it is. But, you know, I have the Padres coming out of NL, and this is for both. This is great for the Dodgers, man. They're going to be competing for multiple years, not just this year, next year, and the next. They're set. They're loaded.
Mike.
My bad. In terms of talent, Obviously, the Dodgers. If you say no, you just don't know baseball. If you look at his roster, I mean, let's just call it what it is. If you're saying no, you just don't watch baseball. You know what I mean? That's just a point blank period. That's as direct as you can get it. That's really it. They lost Trevor Bauer, replaced him with Max Scherzer.
Imagine.
I mean, let that sink in, bro. They lost Trevor Bauer.
I feel like the last 48 hours has been MLB The Show.
Yeah, so like they've been confused. And to your point, I do want to say this. I genuinely this is the greatest trade deadline in the history of sports. Back, right? Not MLB, I'm saying sports. Because not only were dudes wheeling and dealing constantly,
come back, right?
Big names player were wheeling and dealing too. You got Baez dipping, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Joey Gallo. You got dudes in the All-Star game getting traded. So Kyle Schwarber, who you know what I mean? Like, I don't care what no one says. I like him a lot, you know what I mean? Yeah. But you know, If on paper, I give them the advantage. Now, they are 4-6 in the last 10. So, and on top of that, Corey Seager, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he's coming back from a broken hand. He's the basically look.
Corey Bellinger's still not himself, too.
Yeah, which, I still got faith in this team. I really – I think they'll be fine. Problem is, can they get by the Giants? At this point, if I'm the Dodgers, I'm ignoring the Padres. I'm ignoring them completely. To me, they don't exist. Can't believe I'm saying this. The San Francisco Giants are leading that division.
And they just got Chris Bryant.
And that's the part that really baffles me, bro. They got Chris Bryant. If I'm not mistaken, they have a 3-game lead, and they just picked up Chris Bryant for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Let's mention.
There was a reason.
There was no reason whatsoever. This team was clicking on wheels. These guys were balling out. There was no reason. They didn't even have to go get Max Scherzer. But for some reason, they're like, "Yeah, let's go get Max. Let's just spin on this entire division while we're at it." That's what the Giants wanted to do. They got Chris Bryant, which I expect them to go up. On paper, this team is great.
Yeah.
However, they've been going through some stuff. I mean, Jansen, he went on a roll on a cute little roll where he was blowing saves left and right. I know who he was. I didn't know if it was Jansen or if that was Aroldis Chapman in the ALCS. I didn't know the difference. This dude was cool. Dave Roberts is out here. Every time this dude goes out on the field, no matter if it's to argue, no matter if it's to switch pitchers, this dude literally about to have a heart attack. This man just is like a step away. This man is dapping up death right now as we speak. He's chilling in the living room, and he's just waiting for – because this dude literally comes out. I've never seen a dude just talk normally and his neck bulge and his veins pop out. It's wild. It's scary to me.
Mad.
You know what I mean? So it's – on paper, I do believe this team can get it. And on top of that, what I like about Scherzer, I'm not even going to mention the fact that he's got like a 2.76 ERA. I'm not going to mention that. I'm not going to mention that obviously this dude's a demon. I'm not going to mention that. Do you want to know what the best part that he brings to this team? Energy. This is a dude who, when Trevor Bauer would strike somebody out, this dude would basically be on the mound cheering and being happy about it. Max Scherzer kind of brings a little bit of the same vibe. He's not like a Nathan Eovaldi. He'll go out there, he'll get a 1-2-3 inning, and he looks down and he just, let's breathe, you know, next inning. That's the kind of guy he is. Scherzer's the type of dude who'll strike out and look at you. Like, I'm telling you right now, bro. And by the way, I want to mention this, bro. I can't wait till the Mets play the Reds. Because I want to see Baez versus Amir Garrett again. I don't know if y'all know, bro. They almost started scrapping last time, bro. My man, the last series, the first game of the series, Baez hit a walk. It was a walk-off, but he started sweeping, bro. And Garrett, they almost fought, so I want to see that. But in terms of the Giants, I think they're fine. You know, I think because they're starting to click. Like I said, they're only 3 games behind. So it's not like they got to make a whole bunch of space they got to come up. You put Trey Young, who, again, is a guy who doesn't – if he can hit a home run, great.
Trey Turner.
He's a contact dude. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Trey Turner. He's a contact dude. He's a dude that hits the ball, and he wants to go base to base. His ideal game is a triple, not a home run. That's the best hit for him. Like and on the base side, he's smart. There are times where, like, he doesn't even look at the third base coach. He doesn't even look at the dugout. And he's just looking at the pitcher, and he can know, okay, I'm going to go here. This is what I'm going to steal. Kid is fast. Kid definitely is smart. Defensively, he's got great reactions, and he's got a solid arm. Not the best arm in the world, but it's not the worst. He definitely has a solid arm. This dude has no problem getting anybody out. And with his natural speed, bro, this dude is going to be a straight-up demon. I think the Dodgers made some good trade. They made good moves because, again, the guys that they need where basically guys who the Dodgers have a problem. They're like the Yankees. It's home run or bust. That's the problem they have. They fixed that problem by getting Trey Turner, a dude who's like, I don't care. As long as I hit first, I don't care. I don't really mind. You got a guy like that, and then you lost Trevor Bauer, and you got Max Scherzer, who you can make an argument is better than Trevor Bauer. You can make that argument. So in terms of where the Dodgers are, I think they're fine. I think they made the right moves. It's just more along the lines of can they make it work? I believe they can because the guys they got are plug and play dudes. You know what I mean? This isn't a situation where you kind of think this isn't like a catcher who's got to be like, oh my God, we got to fix. It's not that. I think they'll be fine. So I still got faith in them. I really do. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like I said, they're only three games back. So I have faith in them. And like I said, on paper, they're head and shoulders above the rest. And it's not even close. So I have faith that they can turn it around.
Okay. I'm not sure. So you think they shouldn't be favored to go to win it then?
I'll say yes.
The moves like you said, look at it on paper. You know, you got Kershaw and Scherzer, and then you got Bauer. not Bauer at all. Not
Bueller. Bueller.
Bueller. That's what I'm going to do. And if you get Bauer back, then you know.
No, he's not coming back. He's not. No. And the reason I say that, well, if he comes back, he's going to a different team. Because the Dodgers players made it clear, under no circumstances, they don't want this dude back. They don't care if it comes out in the
league. That was before Max Scherzer came there.
No,
I don't know. Nonetheless, I digest. You know, like I see it on paper. This roster just looks great, and I feel like I appreciate the Dodgers making sure that they're going to put themselves in the best position that they can to see if they can repeat. Because we all know championship windows can be very, very small, and they'll close very fast. So you got to make sure that you guys capitalize. And like Sander mentioned earlier, the Mookie Betts acquisition paid its dividends right away. They got the championship fast. Good for Mookie, too. Got that monkey off his back, you know, knowing that he delivered. Now he is killed. Now, you know, like Mookie's been pretty average or below average to what Mookie has been this year. Granted, he's been hurt and stuff. But it's okay because he got it, right? So, like, he got the chip.
Guys, Wayne got paid.
So now we don't look at Mookie Betts like, oh, he still got delivered. Nah, he delivered. And now Scherzer, you know, he won his a couple years ago. Was it last year that they won the championship?
I want to say
two years ago. Sorry, the Dodgers won last year before. So he's a made man. He's not looking for that. So, and neither is Kershaw. So I think that both of them, too, this team's a little looser. They got that championship, you know, monkey off the back, like I just mentioned. And I think they're just going to be a free-flowing team.
I mean, they could be, you know, like I said, I mean, the stuff they got to change is just minor tweaks. So as long as they take care of those minor tweaks, they'll be fine. Again, it kind of sucks that the guys they need, a Mookie Betts, who just for some unknown reason can't stay healthy, and Cody Bellinger, who they have to consistently rest because they're like,
who holds the two?
Yeah, but I don't know, like, oh, I call him Blake, like Hispanic Blake Griffin, because this dude decided to want to play. Dude who got traded, and all of a sudden, my guy here, I don't know what's going on with him.
He's trying to the playoffs, bro.
Maybe, but you know, it just sucks that some of the guys that they count on, like for instance, like Cody Bellinger, God knows what's good with him. God knows, because they say he's fine. So I don't know. Maybe it's like a mental thing. I don't know, but it's fine because now you have guys in there. Like, look, Max Scherzer is special. You give this dude three runs, you're gonna win the game. Unless he has a horrible night, you give this man just three runs, you get in the dub. So, yeah. You know, they made the right moves. They made the smart moves. So,
hats off. I agree. And, you know, the Dodgers, like I said, were very aggressive, went out there and got the big guy, Max Scherzer, keeping the MLB deadline very interesting. But our teams also kept it very interesting, guys, because the Yankees and the Red Sox were also making moves. The Yankees went out and got Joey Gallo, the lefty from Texas, and also got Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs got rid of everybody. We know that now. They literally got rid of everybody. We just mentioned how they shipped Chris Bryant to San Francisco. They literally just gave up the whole house. And then your Boston Red Sox pride. They said, nah, we're going to make some noise too. And they went out there and got Kyle Schwarber, you know, a guy that they could use. And now, you know, you got the potential first base. Was it Dalbec, the guy that is on the trade block now? So we still got some questions with that. But pride, some great acquisitions on both sides. You know, give me some letter grades for the guys that I got shipped.
So for us, I'm going to give us a B. I was real close to doing a B minus because the thing is we got Schwarber and now we want to put him at first. Dude hasn't played first since 2013. Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, And on top of that, we got him. He needs to play. Like, he needs to be out there. Because if he's not out there, he can't DH because that's JD Martinez's spot. So it's kind of like it was a little perplexing. I mean, for all we know, maybe he can, you know, go play first. And, hey, maybe it'll be fine for him. You know, we cross that bridge when we get there. But it's kind of took me off guard because I honestly thought we were going to get Rizzo. I legitimately thought, because I was like, you know, he's a legit first baseman. You know, dude is phenomenal. I love Anthony Rizzo. I thought we could have gotten him. Now, for you guys, the bane of my existence, the team I hate the most, and I wish I can burn down the whole state. I actually have to applaud you. Because
I'm gonna get you mad, though.
You guys made Joey Gallo look hideous shaved.
He does. He
traded immediately. I need his mustache and beard back now. Jesus Christ, I hate that rule for you guys. Makes no sense whatsoever.
I know, I hate
it. Man, that's scary. But I will tell you, look, you guys got two lefties to literally help you guys in the two positions you needed, the outfield and first base. So you guys, in just two moves, basically plug two holes that you guys had. Because first base was a problem. Now you got Anthony Rizzo, who, again, these two, like the two guys you have, respectable years they're having.
Yeah.
Respectable years. You can't just look at them and be like, you can't do that. They're like, you got to look at them, those numbers, and go, okay, all right. Yeah. Joey Gallo gives you a solid arm in the outfield. I'll give you guys the only issue with Joey Gallo, he's got a little bit of the Aaron Judge in him where he strikes out a lot. Now, Aaron Judge has worked on it.
He's a perfect fit.
Yeah, right. So he kind of just wants to head, you know, like swing and home run or bust. So he kind of fits. But with him being aggressive, it is working for him this year. It is working. So, you know, like, is it a – he kind of does like a gambling game. It's like, I'm going to risk it, but it's been working for him. No risk it, no biscuit. And my man's fat over there because he got a lot of biscuits because he's chilling. And Rizzo, dude is smart. He's a phenomenal first baseman. He's got great eye. So, like, he can keep the strikeouts low. And he's a dude who basically wants to he'll hit dingers or he'll hit first. I mean, he's slow, so it's not like this dude's going to be Trey Turner, you know what I mean? Stretching a single to a triple, he's not going to do that. But yeah, on the base path, dude is smart. Dude is smart. There's it's very seldom that you see him kind of be like, what do I do? Like, it's very seldom you see that. He's kind of, yeah, he's got a solid IQ, which he can bring to this team. So, I mean, I give you guys an A for those two guys. I'm a little worried about Gallo just because of the strikeouts. But, again, it's working. So you can't really be like, oh, the strikeouts are cause for concern. You can't go that far because it's working for him. So I'm going to give you guys an A. You guys definitely needed – you guys changed it up, something you guys desperately needed to do. So now let's see. Right. And, again, I said this before. I don't think them going to the Yankees is going to make them all of a sudden play bad. Like, I can't see Joey Gallo all of a sudden – dropping off the face of the earth, and Anthony Rizzo looking worse than Chris Giddens. I don't see that.
And you're going to give both those lefties that short right field?
And that's perfect. Like, which is why I've been saying Yankees should have more lefties. Because if Yankee Stadium is built.
Oh, that's what the stupid analytical nerds are fucking.
That's the part that baffles my mind, bro. They're lefties. That's the equivalent of us being stupid. And for some unknown reason, we got straight righties when if you pull, you're hitting the green monster. No, bro. You guys, like, the field you guys have is perfect for lefties. Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo, they're going to have a field day. They're going to be balling out. Let's see if this could help the Yankees move forward and maybe get out of the slump they're in. Because I'm pretty sure with the addition of those two, I'm pretty sure it's going to take the pressure off of Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. Just having those two sluggers in your lineup, now it's going to be like, I don't have to always go big or go home. I don't have to. So maybe that'll help change their approach to the plate.
Less weight on their shoulders.
Right, exactly. Like, it's not going to be as bad. So maybe they'll go with the approach of, you know what, let's go base to base. I don't have to be that guy to constantly hit homers. That's not my, you know what I mean? I can do it, but it's not demanded of me. It could be asked, but not demanded. So overall, I do like those two trades for you guys. it definitely was everything you guys needed, and then some and more.
Wow, that was beautiful to see you actually give the New York Yankees some type of compliment. It's phenomenal. Please clip that, everybody, because you'll probably never hear something that beautiful again. But nonetheless, guys, I'm going to be real. For the Red Sox, I'm not going to give you guys an A. I'm going to give you guys a solid B, because I would have loved for my brother's dream to have come true and see Mad Max sign with the Boston. That would have been beautiful to see that smile on his face. But still, nonetheless, I felt like you guys could have used a more solid arm in that bullpen, like a starter. I think you could have traded for a starter. You guys could definitely use some help there in that category, because you guys have been pitching well up to this point. As far as sure bet, solid 1, 2, 3, and 4 starters, you go 1 and maybe 2, and the rest is toss-ups. So I feel like if the Red Sox could have got maybe a Max Scherzer or a for sure arm that would have been available, they could have definitely gotten an A from me. But nonetheless, Scherber, that's his name? Schwarber. He's a lefty, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And again, just like in Yankee Stadium in Boston, lefties are they thrive there too. So he's definitely gonna be able to hit some home runs because he's a power hitter, and he's definitely gonna be able to use that short porch to his ability. So it's a good move for the Boston Red Sox. They added some great acquisitions. I'm not gonna sit here and say that they got worse, because they've been doing what they've done so far with the team they had, and they got better. So I'm gonna sit here and actually say that the Red Sox are gonna upgraded. So they got a little bit better, slightly. They didn't get like substantially better. You understand? So they get a B. No disrespect there. The New York Yankees, I have to say, especially with that late acquisition at the end of the pitcher, I'm going to sit here and say that the Yankees actually do deserve an A when it comes to the trade deadline. Because, yes, the Dodgers got what they got. They got the big superstars. But the Yankees got really what they needed. And pride, when you said left-handed, and I'm like, oh, my God, finally. Because I was so sick and freaking tired of seeing the New York Yankees put lineups out there, and it's all right-handed batters. All of them, and they all swing for the fences. It's like, what are we doing out there? Boom, what the hell are you? What's going on down there? For real, like the great Vince Lombardi. What the hell is going on down there? You guys are known for having powerful left-handed batters that can utilize that short porch in right field. And you, I don't mean, excuse me, you three other.
He's got a compliment.
Like, what I'm calling it, I think you did. Oh my goodness, well, how beautiful that was. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. But you got the Yankees got guys. thank you so much for the compliment. But I really got to get this out because it's off my head. The Yankees got some guys that they're not the big superstars, the flashy guys that fall under that New York spell that they love, that they come with that big flashiness. And then guess what? Ain't no light bigger than no light shines brighter than the New York lights. They humble you. Look at when they got AJ Burnett, CeCe Sabathia, and Teixeira. CeCe Sabathia and Teixeira, they were able to handle. But coming off a career year like AJ Burnett did, and coming to basically like Big Dick Daddy coming to New York, and then what happened in New York? Out of the three, he was the one that performed the worst. We don't got guys when we got Rizzo.
Little Chode Daddy.
They had to send him back. They sent his ass to Pittsburgh. By the way, I remember when I was playing career and I got traded to Pittsburgh, some bullshit MLB fixed that. But nonetheless, yo, they got guys that are humble dudes, dude. Anthony Rizzo, his night, right, literally the night before, he was taking pictures in Wrigley Field. Like, that's humble. That's no cockiness. He's going to bring that type of mentality to the game that you touched on, Pride, that I've been screaming for the Yankees to stop falling in love with the home run ball and get guys that can purely hit. Get guys that can hit situationally, not always have to depend on the long ball. Rizzo, at least Rizzo, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not really so sure about Gallo. Gallo swings.
Yeah, Gallo want to go deep.
But Gallo is a lefty. He's not a right-handed. He's going to fall victim to the memorial, the dead memorial area, or that left field. The lefties thrive in New York. The Giambis, the Giambis of the world, the Gary Sheffields of the world, the powerful left-handed batters thrived in those pinstripes. So I'm sure that with the addition of Anthony Rizzo,
you imagine Barry Bonds as a Yankee,
bro. Listen, the Yankees. Listen, the Yankees were in conversations to get Ken Griffey Jr.
That'd be the easiest feel for him to hit, bro.
The Yankees back then, they were this close. I'm not going to say this close because it was by this close. Cincinnati had to throw the kitchen sink at them. They were this close to landing Ken Griffey Jr. Could you imagine Griffey in New York Yankee Stadium, bro, with that left? Oh, bro, you're talking about one of the most beautiful left-handed swings of all time, bro. Let me not get to that. But nonetheless, guys like Rizzo, guys like Gallo, can help dudes like Gleyber Torres who go on funks when he wants to just swing for the bases. Guys like Rizzo, Gallo could tell him, dude, just get on base. Just get on base. Gallo, just get – I mean, you can hit the home run, but Torres, get on base. All throughout the lineup, guys, just get on base. That you the powerful hitters. You know, Pride, I don't know what it is. You got to be looking at me. I don't know what it is. You got to be spying on me. But guys like Rizzo teach these dudes how to hit. Okay, and they're falling in love with the long ball so much that's what fails the Yankees. And I'm ready to see a change. I started cheating on them with the Red Sox, but when they made these acquisitions, I was looking back a little bit. I was a little bit interested to see what they was doing there. So nonetheless, the Yankees get an A grade. They upgraded substantially. They definitely made the push. So right now, with the players that they acquired, that prediction of Joe of maybe 40 wins and 25 losses doesn't seem so distant. I still don't think they can do it, but it doesn't seem so distant. I still think the Yankees could possibly win 90 games.
Yeah, I like both trades for both guys. You know, I'll start off with Kyle Schwarber first for Boston. I think it was a good pickup in the sense that you really just upgraded your first base position substantially. You know what I mean? You basically took a 70 overall guy and put an 85 guy in there, and your whole team overall just went up, and now you got a guy that you could guys just dispense up and get some value back from. So definitely, I'm going to give it a B-plus for Boston. I think that it was definitely a nice pickup for them. He said they didn't know that Gallo and Rizzo could pitch. I'll get there, Jose. I'll get there. But nonetheless, I said like a B-plus for Boston. I definitely like the Kyle Schwarber pickup for you guys a lot. And for the lineup purposes, I definitely think it was a great addition for the Yankees too. I'm gonna give them both B-pluses because I'm not sure, you know, especially for Joey Gallo, I definitely want to give him some time. I do think that Anthony Rizzo is the more seasoned guy going into the Yankees. He's definitely the higher profile guy, and I think that he's going to play well in New York. And you mentioned the mentality that he will bring to some of these younger guys. I think that they need that. Pride, you mentioned the thing that, you know, kind of takes off some weight off Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. That's an absolute truth. And if they play it right, you'll probably have those guys in between those guys in the lineup where you'll get Judge, then Gallo, then Stanton, then Rizzo, or whichever way you want to put it, you're going to get the right-left combination for pitchers. And, you know, that's going to be something that guys are going to have to adjust to. But nonetheless, definitely I'm happy as a Yankee fan today because they had lost me. I was so tuned out, and they actually pulled me back in. They might have pulled me, you know, just for one last run, and now a wild card spot might be the goal because I'm realistic. The AL East, take this hat off, Sandy. You ain't no Yankee fan this year. You sold your soul. Anyways, anyways, the AL East definitely is out of range for the Yankees. That's what I think. But the wild card, only three games back from that, I think that they can compete for that for sure. Where does that leave Boyd? We were talking about that in our pre-show, Jose. You know, at this point, the deadline is over. I believe that they can't make any further moves at this point. So it looks like the Yankees are going to ride the two first basemen scenario as is. You know, I can see a lot of scenarios where Luke Boyd gets a lot of DNPs where he doesn't play because, frankly, he's still coming off the injury. And if you now have Anthony Rizzo to play first, then you could afford to have a guy like Luke Voit sit out a little longer, Pride. You have that luxury now where you have a power bat like him that could afford now the time to to get healthier now you got made that big acquisition.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he meant does, not those. But
that's what I'm saying.
Honestly, I would keep Voit.
Yeah.
And the reason I would keep Voit is it gives you a little bit of wiggle room because let's say you got to rest Giancarlo Stanton. Luke Voit could be the DH. If you need to rest Anthony Rizzo, Luke Voit could play first. So, honestly, if I'm the Yankees, I wouldn't really move him. I would keep him because now that gives you a little bit of space. It gives you a little bit of room. So, that way, if you need to rest one or Aaron Judge and you put Giancarlo Stanton out in the outfield, you can, it gives you some room to move with him. And on top of that, he is a power, he's yeah. power, still a power guy. I still don't mind it. You know what I mean? So, I wouldn't get rid of him because you can still use him. But
that dude's made out of porcelain.
You know, it gives them a little bit of room. So I wouldn't get rid of him yet unless somebody calls and, you know, they give you something for it. You know what I mean? But if they're not willing to, like, you know, give you what you want, I wouldn't move him at all. Because he can still get a little bit of burn, kind of like a Kyle Hashioka and Gary Sanchez kind of situation where, like, you can basically intermix them and intertwine them and keep swapping them in and out. So if I'm
there's a lot of doubleheaders to be played. You know, you can always
exactly. –
Yep. Dude, yeah, keep them, man, because listen, those great Yankee teams back then was built on depth, man. You look at the starting lineup, but then you look at the bench, man, they had guys like Ruben Sierra, you know what I mean? Not your everyday starter, but a guy that when your guy needs rest or you come in a situation where you need a pinch hit and you could rely on guys like on your bench. And keeping Big Chess Voit out there in the bench when we need him is a – listen, we would do better with him than without him type. You know what I mean? Like, it's better absolutely. To have him than to lose him. You know what I'm saying? So it's – and what does everybody on the Yankees – in the Yankees fan base, what we all preach is, oh, next man mentality. Well, guess what? If something happens to our man, a guy like Voit is definitely better to have than someone we call up, okay?
Absolutely, you know, and that's what it is. You got nice, proven guys that definitely know how to play the role. And Pride, you mentioned it perfectly. You know, there's no scenario where these guys get to New York or, you know, in your scenario, Schwarber gets to Boston and they play worse. I don't see it. These guys are just plug and play guys. And I give both guys high grades because they really made the right move at the right time. So kudos to both those teams. Hope that they both meet each other in the playoffs because that'd be the ultimate drama that I know we all want to see.
Three teams, man. For sure. All three of them.
All the teams. I feel like, you know, you I think you had mentioned Pride. This might be the best trade deadline in auto sports ever. And it's hard to deny it because all the big time stars that were moved, it literally was like MLB The Show, or, you know, we just did like a fantasy draft kind of thing. Guys just went everywhere. So yeah, shout out to the MLB for that one. That was very exciting. But listen, about things that I want to see, this is something that I want to personally see because both these guys have been talking smack for quite some time, Sander. We all know that Usain Bolt, he the running god, bro. But Tyreek Hill, he the cheetah. You know what I mean? At cheetah, that's his Twitter handle. You can see it on the screen. And, you know, this beef really starts because, you know, Usain Bolt was at the Pat McAfee show. Shout out to Pat McAfee. He's awesome, dude. Anybody that hasn't watched the show, definitely do. But they were talking about, they were on the floor, and he's talking about blah, blah, blah. But then I went on the combine one year, and I was right there, and I ran a 4.2 in my sweatpants. That's what Usain Bolt said. So, you know, Tyreek Hill, you said, line up, then stop hiding. And I love that energy, Pride. I love that energy because, you know, we all know Tyreek, man, and we know that he's fast. You know, I know we have a, you know, he might not be the best receiver in the league, but is he the fastest? You can definitely make that argument. He's definitely one of the fastest athletes that the NFL has had for quite some time. But we talking about, look at that. That's God in sneakers right there. Are you kidding me? That this man, Usain Bolt, man. Like one of my favorite old-time sports pictures is the one where he's smiling at the guys. And you know what I'm talking about? Where he's running and he just smiles like, bye, peace. But nonetheless, you know, Sandra, I'll start with you. Who won this race?
Come on, bro. This ain't even. I understand that he's the cheetah, but guess what, bro? You're football fast. There's a big difference between football fast and sprinter fast, okay? And I'll tell you this right now. Usain Bolt is not human. He's not he's literally the sign, the Puma sign. That's not a damn leopard. That's not a jaguar. That's Usain Bolt. Just in that logo, you just got to squint your eyes and you see Usain Bolt. Dude, He's literally the definition of quick. You see quick in the dictionary, it's Usain Bolt. You see fast, it's Usain Bolt. You see super speed, it's Usain. Like, literally, I believe that the movie Incredibles, that the kid fast, the fast kid, I think he was after Usain Bolt. So they basically said, you know, we need to make a baby Usain Bolt and put him in the movie. And that's what he got to carry. Dude.
There's a rumor that they injected Sonic with Usain Bolt's blood. That's what I've heard.
100%, bro. Listen. You know what it was? We bullied them to change the logo. They didn't change the logo. They put Usain Bolt's body in that character. That's why it made him so fast. That's what it really was. But dude, Usain Bolt is just on another world, bro. It's listen. Like I said, there's difference between football fast with pads, because you're faster than everybody else on the damn football field. But when it comes to the fastest people on the planet, Usain Bolt, because he's the fastest person, the fastest people, he's him. It doesn't go anybody else. It's Usain Bolt.
He called me a cornball. He called me a cornball. Yeah.
Listen. Usain Bolt, at the end of the day, bro, he's stupid fast. He's going to run with pads. If it's with pads on, okay, bro, you got him. You got him, because he doesn't run with pads. And even with pads on, he'll most likely give you a run for his money. But you want to talk about track and field? You want to line up professionally with Usain Bolt, bro? He'll take your cookies 11 out of 10 times, bro. Like, for real. And he'll laugh at you on the 11th time like he did to all those Olympians. Which, by the way, is so funny that you mentioned that, JJ. But did you know that he could have broken his already broken record by a quicker time if he did not take the literally milliseconds to slow down and look back at the damn competition? That's just straight definition of trolling and disrespect and not in a fuck. That's how fast he is. He's I don't give a fuck fast. That's how fast he is. So real talk, dude, who's going to win this race, JJ? First of all, is it with pads or is it not with pads? Is this straight up the way they run in track?
It's a track race. It's a track race, like I said.
All right, it's a dog. Come on, bro. What are we talking about, bro? It's Usain by a mile, bro. It's Usain by a mile.
If you think Tyreek Hill has a chance with pads, without pads, underwater, outer space, you're a moron. Tyreek Hill is the fastest man in football. Usain Bolt is the fastest man alive. There's difference. Yeah. There's levels to this. And by the way, Tyreek, you think it's just easy as running? Hit up DK Metcalf. Because everyone thought he was going to wash everybody when he tried to qualify. Ask him how it worked out for him. Wasn't fun. The fastest Tyreek Hill has ever ran, ever, was a little over 23 miles an hour. That's fast. That's fast. So you sit down and realize that's still under the average of Usain Bolt. Let that sink in. Your fastest is still under the average of the fastest man in the world. And you got the nerve to tell him to line up? Fam, you know where you need to line up, bro? You need to line up at the doctor's office, dog. Because you got no neck and no brain. If you think you got a chance of
being you need to get bro, drug
you're out of your mind. That's the equivalent of me playing water polo and me thinking, oh, yeah, it's swimming. Yo, Michael Phelps, I'm coming for you. What are we doing talking about? This man has a chance. This man has a chance of finishing second, and it's only because there's only two people racing. That's it. So all of a sudden, that's his average, bro. His top speed is like over 27 miles an hour. And every, bro, 90% of the time that Usain Bolt is like when they measure his speed. Look at this. This is basically a projection based on Tyreek Hill's.
This is a great simulation.
This is a simulation of in the 2016 Rio Olympics where he would have finished. Fam. With the amount of space Usain Bolt got between him, I could lay down and there would still be space. But you sit here and telling me, oh my God, bro, if he got a chance, I'm playing the lotto. I got a better chance winning the lottery than this man beating Usain Bolt in a race. And that's just like, look, bro, you could put this dude in a car, bro, back to the future, throw this man a DeLorean, and he'll go back in time and still lose. This man could have time manipulation, bro. Like it's Dragon Ball Super when Zamasu got the time ring. He'll go forward in time and still lose. Bro, for this dude to sit there and think he's got a chance, he doesn't run faster than me after stealing some platanos. And this dude can run. Jose, get the jimmies on, fam. Bro, like, yo, like, on inside the NBA, they got Kenny the Jet Smith, bro. I took that name from him and put on Jose. Because with chancletas, home is gone. And he's faster than Tyree. And this man got the nerve to tell me, oh, stop hiding. Line up. Nah, bro. You're going to be hiding from the embarrassment when Usain Bolt, a retired Usain Bolt, comes out and embarrasses you. And now it's going to make everyone in the league talking about,
I want to see
it. He was fast. What? Boy, bye. Boy, bye. Man got one Super Bowl ring. Don't know how to act. Don't act cocky, Tyreek. Don't act cocky.
Let's make it happen.
You was going like this to them. Let's make it happen. What happened in the Super Bowl, Tyreek?
Don't get too cocky. I need Dana White to make it happen.
Oh, I need a double header. Oh,
make it happen, bro. I need a double header. Call Thriller.
I need a double header. 100%. I need a double header. I need a double header. 100%. Usain Bolt will dust them on the track.
The undercard of a Logan Paul fight.
Don't even matter. But this dude, he's got no chance, bro. It doesn't even matter because Usain Bolt is just, there's levels to it, right? And Usain Bolt isn't even on a level anymore. He's not even on a level. Like, bro, when this dude, remember how we talked about how Simone Biles is the GOAT and there's just no debating it? Yeah, and I multiply that by 3 and that's still a fraction of what Usain Bolt is. That's still only a fraction. And a football player who, mind you, sure he's fast, you still got some corners keeping up with him, talking about he could beat the fastest man alive. Listen, man, there's only one person faster than Usain Bolt, and that's me when I'm with my girl. Until then, fam, ain't no one faster than Usain Bolt. I'm just throwing that out there. So I don't want to hear nothing, ands, ifs, or buts about
that, it. That took me a Tyreek second, Hill but I got there.
Tyreek Hill will not win, and it is over. If you want to be embarrassed, so be it. But if you want to keep your pride intact, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Last time you got cocky and you decided to taunt somebody, the Bucks came back and embarrassed you. Had you crying on the sideline like Joel Embiid. Don't do it. Stay in your lane. Don't do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, literally, stay in your lane and don't even go on the track and field with Usain Bolt, because Usain Bolt is going to win this, like you said, 11 out of 10 times, because he a GOAT. He's just a GOAT.
Yeah. Bro, real quick, bro, like Usain Bolt sits at the same table as Michael Phelps when it comes to, like, legendary status in Olympic history. He sits at that table. Michael Phelps may be sitting at that table at a bong or a doobie, but he's still sitting at the table.
Hey, you know Usain Bolt drinking, you know how they roll in Jamaica.
I'm sure.
Nonetheless, guys, Tyreek bugging. If you're thinking he could beat Usain Bolt, we're gonna hat trick that one, because come on, man. I want to see it though. I would watch it.
I don't know if I would, because, like, why go to a movie and pay to see a movie when you know the ending? What's the point?
Because, you know, a lot of times
it's, the final,
but it's about how it's done.
But the fight, I don't know. And look, man, it's just.
I'm big on how it's done.
Look, the difference is, if y'all want to watch it, that's fine. Go ahead. Dude.
Just talk right about it.
Dude.
It's okay, bro. It's only going to last fucking 5 seconds.
It's going to be quick. I don't mind. You can watch it. But when it's over, guess what? You and I still gonna have the same knowledge. And in those 10 seconds, guess what? I successfully made love to my fiance. So guess what? I'm being more productive.
At least more productive than Tyreek Hill.
I don't know what's wrong with him, bro. Well, homeboy got no neck and no brain talking out the side of his mouth. It's ridiculous.
Nonetheless, guys, it is Friday, so I do want to check up on our. Tyreek Hill. I do want to touch up on our Blazer predictions, brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants. Over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure you guys have licensed professionals handling your financials. Ask for Haiti and let her know that her friends at Clover Crest Media Group sent you, and especially the Stir the Pot crew. Let her know that we sent you, because, you know, we got your back, Haiti. But here we are, guys. Another Friday, another prediction. Sandra, what you got for me, puppy?
Oh, man, this weekend we got Olympics. You know what I mean? I'm in the Olympic spirit. So I got, don't throw a sandal, you know what I mean, reach all the way over here, Pride. But I got Team USA beating the Czech Republic on Sunday. I think it's Sunday.
Don't learn.
So, yeah, dude, on Sunday, I got the learn. I got them. I got them. Listen, I got faith. I got faith in Team USA. Okay, so I believe that Dame is coming to save the day. Yes, I just rhymed right, all that without even trying all that.
I got him. I got him. You good, Sander? You good?
So yeah.
I'm gonna see how much faith you got.
I got USA winning, baby.
I smell what's coming.
Okay. I'm gonna see how much faith you got. 18 points.
But how much?
18 on Czech Republic.
18? Give me 15 and you got a deal.
16.
15, bro. 15.
16.
You that scared?
15. Oh, he got scared. Nonetheless, I know he will get back. Team USA against Czech Republic will be his prediction pride. I don't know. Is Draymond Green going to drop 30 or something? I'm just kidding.
Bro, Draymond Green is closer to get 30 minutes to drop 30 points. Don't be
wrong. My phone said, hold on. Wait a second. You want 16? You want 16, bro? You
want 16?
I'll give you 16, bro. Give me the 16. Skittles.
No, hold on.
Write it in your book.
So is this how much Team USA is going to win by?
They got to at least win by 16.
No less than 16.
So 16 or up?
That's what I'm saying. He's so confident. All right, give me 16 then. Let's see what you're confident.
I'm going to write it down. Hold
15
on.
And a half is the that's over 15. Under. You're going over. You're going under. This is nuts, bro.
Mind you, they just beat somebody by 60 points. So
that's different. That's
right there. Okay, different. That's right above his. That's right. We're not gonna forget about this right here.
That's different.
This right here, we ain't forgetting about that. No.
Oh, whoa. Based how you think, Russell Westbrook would save Team USA.
Top.
No, he won't, bro. No, he won't. Matter of fact, we losing to Iran by 70 something. Forget 60.
We gonna beat Czech Republic. We gonna beat. Right, Sanders, by the way, the USA is top three in gold medals. So keep an eye on, baby.
Currently, yep. All right, so we got 16 on Czech Republic. All right, let's go. What you got for me, Pride?
Man better not let me down. I'm putting all my chips, all my marbles. Uriah Hall, right? This dude broke Chris Weidman's leg, right? So I should be going against him. But every time I say Sean Strickland, in my mind, I just see Uriah Hall knocking him out. Uriah Hall, do not let me down. This is the number 8 and the number 11th ranked middleweights in the UFC right now. And whoever gets this win, you can make an argument and you can make a case that they should be knocking on the top 5 door. That they should be knocking, the next opponent should be a top 5. I have Uriah Hall winning by knockout. If he lets me down, Dana White better release him, because right now Sean Strickland is the favorite. He's the favorite. So I decided to go for the underdog. I don't know why I do this. Winning must be so hard. My stupid self must want to lose. I don't get it. And like every time I look at this and I'm like, bro, I'm dumb. I don't know what I'm doing. Because if you just look at the fight, Sean Strickland has the advantage, except for when it comes to power. I don't know, man. When it comes to power, I just see Uriah Hall obliterating this man's jaw, sending him to another dimension. If he does not do it, I might have to not watch any more combat sports ever again in my life. I might have to. So yeah, my reputation is on the line. I'm going Uriah Hall for the knockout. And if he wins, I guarantee you Uncle Dana, I'm going to call him Uncle Dana from now on. Because I feel like if I call him Uncle Dana, he won't block our live streams anymore. So I'm going to call him Uncle Dana, right? if one of these guys win, I guarantee you Uncle Dana is going to be looking like, yo, the top 5 has been the same for a while. Israel Adesanya needs a new guy. Maybe we could see if one of these guys are ready. Maybe. Which personally, I think in terms of that top 5, I think Uriah Hall would actually survive and thrive better than Sean Strickland. So I got Uriah Hall with the knockout. Don't let me down, kid. Don't let me down.
Yeah, no, the winner, supposedly the rumor goes that the winner of this fight is going to fight a top 5 guy, and that guy supposedly is going to be Vettori. He wants to get back in action. He wants to avenge the loss to Adesanya. He wants to get right back in action. So most likely we'll see the winner of this fight fighting Vettori or another top 5 guy. And I agree with you. The only reason why Uriah Hall is not favored, though, because I believe Strickland's going into this fight undefeated. He has a winning streak going. I mean, he's undefeated. But nonetheless, you know, you're right. The winner of this fight is going to get a top five guy.
Yeah, and I think it'll make for an exciting fight, you know, so I'll definitely have to keep my eye out for that one. Any other points before I move on to mine?
Well, Uriah Hall is the only dude to break a dude's leg, and the dude was the guy that threw the kick.
I just hope Uriah Hall does not let me down, because the more I say it, the more I think I'm going to be wrong.
Every time you say Jiraiya, it makes me think of Jiraiya.
Right. That's really what I'm thinking. And it's like, oh no, he lost the pain, and I had so much faith that he was going to win, but he lost. Am I doing the wrong thing? But I'm going to stick with it.
There's something in your
There's so something about Jiraiya's, man. Something about Jiraiya's.
And he's going to knock him out.
They never win the big one.
We'll see. But, you know, I also do have little Olympics in my Blazer prediction as well. But I'm going a little different, because I told you I feel something in my gut, because I think this is going to happen. My man, Luca, he playing against Ricky Rubio, Tokyo Olympics version, Ricky Rubio, and he faces the Gasol brothers in Spain, and this game is going to be going on at 4:30 o'clock in the morning, so I'm going to be up on Sunday at 4:30. I might be watching it. I might be half asleep. Who knows? But I do want to check this game, and I think that Luka Doncic of Slovenia will win this to continue on their route to the gold medal, because I think that Luka going to do it. That's just the way that
I hope they get smacked.
Nah, they're going to beat Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio acting like he brand new, like he an MVP caliber kind of player right now. Nah, Luka gonna put the kibosh on that. Like, nah, young man, chill with that.
Yo, Ricky Rubio, real talk, like, this dude looked phenomenal against Team USA. And now he's walking the streets with no shirt on. He's JRing it. He's being JR right now, bro. This dude got no shirt on. And he's like, oh, yeah, Chico, man, I got. Like, my dude, that's the vibe he's on right now. Like, no lie, if you go to Spain, right now, Ricky Rubio –
let's call him a hero. He's on that big, thick energy right now.
Bro, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. He's running the country, and his two assistants are the Gasol brothers. I wish this Mark Gasol showed up for the Lakers.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something different. But, you know, excuse my French, but I guess it's fuck pride in his prediction. So, because I thought Lakers were going to win. But I guess Mark Gasol heard that and said, nah, I'm going to rest for the Olympics. So,
nonetheless, my guy Luka, we know what he is, what he represents, and I think that he's just going to continue balling out. And there's Olympic run.
I want to put you on the spot. How many points Luka getting? And how much are they winning by? This doesn't have to count. This won't count for the prediction. But I'm curious. I wanna hear how you think it's gonna be.
I can see Luka dropping like 35, and I can see them winning a tight game, because it'll be a tight game. It won't be a blowout. I have Slovenia winning by 4.
So they're winning by
I'm not sure what the final score is going to be, but I think they'll win by
four. No, it's fine. So you think they're winning by 4,
and he's dropping 35.
And I think he'll drop like 35.
Bro, yeah. I hope he misses 35 shots.
I hate you so much.
I hope the Gasol brothers literally bully his ass.
I really do want it to come down to Luka and Slovenia versus the NBA guys and Team USA somewhere along the bracket.
And it's crazy because I think Luka will win.
I think Slovenia will have a really good chance of winning that game.
I think they would have not a puncher's chance. I think they would have a legit chance.
Absolutely.
Well, USA better handle shit against the Czech Republic, okay?
Yeah. So, hey, we got some Olympics and some UFC to watch. I'll definitely be keeping my eyes on both of them, guys. Very excited for the weekend. I know I'm happy it's Friday. I'm tired. I need some sleep. So, I'm excited for that part, too. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch.tv/CloverCrest Media Group. Check out our website for all of our content, clovercrestmedia.com/showthepossports. And check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts if you guys want to give us a listen. Other CMG Sports, Stir the Possports is there. Anybody who checks out the website as well. Our YouTube shows are also there if you guys want to give us a view. I know, Sander, I'm tired too. That's that Friday fatigue. Ooh. We're all feeling it. I know we're all definitely going to sleep in a little bit
tomorrow. You got the news?
Is going to be on UFC 268.
Who?
Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje.
Ooh.
So this is Justin Gaethje's final fight, right? Because Michael Chandler finna embarrass him. I need Joe and Jace here. And gentlemen, if
you guys had Gaethje in that one, I don't know.
I'm gonna need both of you guys because something tells me
take the day off.
They gonna be on some nut shit, JJ. I'm taking a mental day. I'm taking a mental day. You can have them because I feel like more Joe than anything. he's gonna irk me.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to take the mental day.
Yeah, and nonetheless, it's gonna be a fun show. And now that we got that news, we'll definitely have to touch up on it, and we'll probably touch up on it on Monday's show. So definitely stay tuned, guys, because we will be talking about that. That's gonna be a great UFC card. Thank you again, Uncle Dana. Let's stay on your good side, Dana. Yes, I'm sir. JJ Vargas. My brother's Riley Barrett, Sander Sanchez. We'll catch you on Monday.
The college football season is coming back, and we got you covered on every game. We're breaking it down on each snap all season long. Catch us every week starting on August 4th. Joe McGuire, Sean Scanlon, Jace Garcia, and yours truly, Obi Muniz, giving you the highlights, predictions, and current rankings. Visit our website at hhwshow.com and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's All Four Downs, part of the CMG Sports Podcast Network.
The Giants are running New York like the times as Danny is dropping all sorts of dimes. Saquon's thighs are ruining defenses' lives and Leonard Williams making opposing QBs feel him. Receivers think it's scary to line up across James Bradbury, and the Giants have a bright future led by coach, judge, jury, and executioner. Tune in to Drawing About the G-Men every Wednesday at 6, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Which